Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
JC, it is time to make our picks for week 21 in the Canadian Football League. I'm not saying I'm ready for the regular season to be done, but I am very excited for the start of the playoffs. How are you feeling going into this
week? Let's get this thing over with. I don't know if you saw those TV numbers from last week, but it looks like the entire country is ready to get the regular season over with. Let's get some games that mean something. Hopefully, we get at least we get two of those this weekend out in with Winnipeg and Saskatchewan. Hopefully both of those games end up meaning something and not just one. I am ready for the postseason.
Yeah, week 20 was not a strong week on television for the CFL. It's worst in many, many years. A good week, though, for me. I am 7-0 the last 2 weeks against the spread. I'm now 9 games over .500 against the spread on the year, which I think is impressive, because that means that even if I get every game wrong from here on out, I will still finish above 500 for the season. Or at least if I'm wrong on the 9 remaining games, I'll be at 500. But I'm pretty confident that's not going to be the case, especially because there are some very juicy numbers, I think, to potentially take advantage of this week. And who knows, maybe JC, you'll get back to 500 before the end of the year and join me on the positive side.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Let's get into it. The Ottawa Redblacks are 2-point favorites over the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Friday night when the two teams clash in the nation's capital. The Redblacks are fielding a veteran-laden roster, despite this game meaning nothing in the standings, and made a big change in the backfield, moving Braylon Addison to the starting spot at running back and demoting Kalen Laybourne to the practice roster. Hamilton has also kept their veterans in the lineup in what will be their final game of the season after missing the playoffs, with rookie Isaiah Wooden taking over the return duties. Can the Redblacks win and cover the short spread, or will Hamilton prove they're the better team despite finishing last in the East Division?
Look, the Redblacks need to have some type of response here. They need to prove to themselves that last week's fourth quarter wasn't a fluke and that they can get back to their winning ways into the playoffs. I'm not sure starting a receiver at running back is the way to do that, but getting Bryce Carter back at defensive end, I think that will be a big boost for them, and this is going to be a more competitive team. I still like Hamilton more, but I think Ottawa has more at stake here. I think they really do need to make that statement, and they showed against Toronto at the end that there is still a little bit of fight left in this team. I think it's going to be a razor-thin margin, but I've got the Redblacks winning this one. But I won't take them to cover. I think it could be a 1-point game. It is that close. The margin, I got to hedge my bets here.
Yeah, it's hard to put money on the Redblacks after this. I mean, they're in a 5-game losing skid, JC. This has not been an impressive team the second half of the season. I'm a little bit bullish on their change along the offensive line. Jacob Ruby taking over that left tackle spot again from Drake Centers, who really struggled there last week. Centers has been moved down to the practice roster. You know, I can see this game going either way. I think Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, full credit to him going over 5,000 yards on the season. That being said, I mean, his two big 5-touchdown games came against Edmonton and Calgary, respectively. Outside of that, you know, he's got 21 touchdowns, 17 picks on the year. That's not like a crazy ratio that screams MOP necessarily. I think I have to take the Ottawa Redblacks here. I don't like taking the Ottawa Redblacks here, but their late push last week, I think, did give me some genuine hope that this team might be able to find their form from early on in the season, especially when they were dominant at home. And Devontae Dedmon getting back into the game as a returner, I think, can potentially help them provide a spark. So this isn't a game that I would personally put money on, but if I had to pick it, I would take the Redblacks by a hair. If this game goes up to a field goal, I would take the Tabbies against the spread. At -2, I'll still roll with the Redblacks. The Edmonton Elks are 1.5-point favorites over the Toronto Argonauts on Friday night at Commonwealth Stadium, where the home side will wrap up their season. Chad Kelly has been listed as Toronto's third-string quarterback, with Cameron Dukes getting the start, while 8 other Argonauts starters will either not play or fill depth roles. The Elks, meanwhile, will have Trey Ford under center in what could be his last game as a member of the team, depending, of course, on how free agency shapes up. Can the Elks cover the spread against a depleted Argos team, or will the Boatmen spoil the party?
The Argos are the best team in the CFL right now in terms of the way they've played the last number of weeks, and I'm still, regardless of what happens in this game, going to beg on them to come out of the East Division and make a run at the Grey Cup. But I think they're missing too many pieces in this game against an Elks team that still has shown that they're willing to play for pride. Specifically for me, it's the offensive line. Like, Ryan Hunter is that team's best offensive lineman. He's going to be dressed like in a depth role. I don't think he's going to be out there. And you've got John Bessay, the rookie out of the University of Calgary, starting at left tackle. That's going to be a tough, tough matchup for him. He's not a guy who's got the fleetest feet. He gets a lot done with length. Hopefully he's improved over a full season of practice with the CFL team, but I just don't buy that he's going to be effective protecting Cameron Dukes' blindside in this game against what can be a fairly effective Edmonton pass rush. I think that's going to hamper them offensively, and Edmonton can sneak out a victory here in their final game of the regular season.
Yeah, Toronto's best defensive back, Deshaun Amos, will not play in this game. Tyshawn Blackburn, draft pick out of the University of Alberta, will make his first career start at middle linebacker. And Wynton McManus will not play in this game. He was really the straw that stirred the drink in Toronto all season long. That defense looked completely different for much of the first half of the season when he was out, and became arguably the league's best unit once he was back in. I do think that this game will be close, and I am bullish on Jack Kassar, who is starting for the Argonauts at middle linebacker, currently leading the CFL in special teams tackles. But I think that the Edmonton Elks are still fighting, right? They've got fighting for jobs on the field. Jarius Jackson is fighting to have the interim tag removed from him as their head coach this offseason. General manager G. Roy Simon looking for the same to get that interim tag removed in the personnel department. So I am going to take the Edmonton Elks here. I just think that the Argonauts, as much as I agree with you, JC, they're number one on my ballot for our power rankings here at Three Down Nation, and they finally cracked number one this past week. I think they're the best team in the CFL, but they are not going into Edmonton with their full complement of weapons. This is a depleted roster, and I think Edmonton can take advantage, get one last win at home before their season is done. The Montreal Alouettes are 7-point home underdogs to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at Percival Molson Stadium on Saturday afternoon as the team looks to get back on track following a blowout loss to BC last week. Winnipeg has everything to play for in this one, as the Blue Bombers are still looking to clinch first place in the West Division, while Montreal is expected to rest some regular starters to rest up for the East Final. Can the Owls cover a wide spread with the B team, or will Winnipeg roll to a first place finish?
I just can't figure out the Alouettes right now, and of course, we don't have their depth charts released yet as we're recording this, so there's a number of factors that could change here depending on who they're expected to rest. I sense that we will get Cody Fajardo as the starting quarterback at least for a half, like they did last week against BC. I question that decision. I question some of their other decisions here because this team is going to need a spark. And for me, I would have more of my starters out here knowing I have a bye week to rest people to try and get something going heading into the playoffs and get back to the level that they were playing at early in the season. I don't think they're quite going to do that. I think Winnipeg wins this game, but 7 points is far too wide of a spread for my liking here. I'm not that hungry. I had a big breakfast, Hodge. I don't need to eat all them points. Okay, so I'm going to be a little conservative and take Montreal to cover the spread. They're playing at home. That's a tough trip for any team to make out there to Montreal. Winnipeg has not done great out there in the past. I think they are going to win this game, but it's going to be within a touchdown. I'm taking the Alouettes to cover.
Winnipeg historically has played very well in Montreal, avoiding that Montreal flu that I think affects some teams when they go and partied up on one of the many streets in downtown Montreal, one of the best party cities in North America. That being said, I am on the Bombers to win this game. I don't think I'm going to take them to cover, JC. I just think 7 points is too much. And for context, this line opened at 3. So evidently, all of the money was coming in on Winnipeg. It has blown up. If it goes much higher, I mean, I don't know who's taking Winnipeg -7 in this game. It could come down. We don't know. What we do know is that Mustafa Johnson, unlikely to play this week. Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund, who was Montreal's candidate for most outstanding Canadian, did not practice this week. Josh Donovan, who started this entire season at right tackle for the Alouettes, was on crutches after last game. He's not practicing. So the Alouettes are nicked up. And I would imagine they are going to rest some of their regular players. Again, as of this recording, we don't know what will happen at the quarterback spot. To me, it doesn't matter because Cody Fajardo and Davis Alexander's production has been virtually identical so far this season. And this team also, like easily the best team in the first half of the CFL season. They've only won 2 of their last 6 games. That includes a tie against the lowly Stampeders. To me, I think that Winnipeg is the better team between these two clubs right now. The Bombers will be without Brandon Alexander at safety, but I'm also not sure they're going to miss him that much. I think the Bombers have the proper depth in that spot to take over. It's been reported that Dietrich Nichols could move there. Dietrich Nichols, for my money, a top 3 defensive back in the CFL. So I'm going to take Winnipeg to win this game. Not sure if I'm hungry enough to take them to cover, but the Bombers know how important it is to host the West Final. I think they're going to do everything in their power to try to clinch first place in that West Division. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are 3.5-point home favorites to the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday night in what will be the final game of the CFL regular season. The Riders could clinch first place in the West Division with a win, provided the Blue Bombers lose to the Montreal Alouettes earlier this same day. While the Stampeders have nothing to play for after being eliminated from playoff contention weeks ago. Former NFL quarterback PJ Walker will not play for the Stampeders, as it seems possible Matthew Schultz, Jake Mayer, and possibly even Logan Bonner could each see time under center in Cowtown. Will the Riders get the win at Mosaic, and can they cover this moderate spread?
I'm a little surprised by the spread being as tight as it is, based on the fact that these two teams are just in different stratospheres right now, but I think this is the oddsmakers compensating a little bit for the potential of an emotional letdown here for the Riders. They're not going to know for certain that this game is worth playing until shortly before kickoff. And if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers win, it goes from being the most important game of the season for Saskatchewan to not mattering at all instantaneously. And I think there's a little bit of risk that you take your eye off the ball in that circumstance, that you get sort of that blow to the gut and you're not able to catch your breath and you let an easy one slip. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case for a Corey Mace-led team. I think they are mentally tough enough. They've been through enough this season that they'll be able to keep their focus regardless what happens earlier in the day. And I think the Calgary Stampeders are just that bad, right? This is a team that has nothing going for them right now, with the exception of maybe Reggie Begelton, who has had a really good season at receiver. And boy, oh boy, it looks like he's trying out there when maybe nobody else is. So I still am going to take the Saskatchewan Roughriders to cover this spread. I think they've played fantastic football lately. They've got a great defense. And Trevor Harris has been playing as good as any quarterback in the CFL down the stretch. That is far more than you can say for any of the people that might take snaps for the Stamps.
Yeah, if Winnipeg loses to Montreal, I would happily take Saskatchewan minus 15 in this game. I don't think it's going to be remotely close if the Riders have something to play for. I agree with you, JC, that the circumstance changes a little bit if, in fact, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Montreal Alouettes earlier that day, locking Saskatchewan into second place in the process. The issue, though, is that there's only going to be 1 hour between the end of the Winnipeg-Montreal game and the start of the Saskatchewan game here. And if you're the Riders, that probably gives you enough time to maybe you scratch Trevor Harris late. But by and large, your roster will be set, your game plan will be set, and you're going to be playing, if not all, you're going to be playing the vast majority of your starters. So I like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to win this game. I don't think that 3.5 points is too much to be afraid of. Let's not forget the last time these two clubs met, Jake Mayer played very well against a tough Riders defense. And the game was in Calgary, and they still lost by 8 points, right? Reichwell Armstead went for over 200 yards. The Stampeders have by far and away the CFL's worst run defense. I don't care who is starting for the Riders, if it's AJ Ouellette on a pitch count, whether it's Frankie Hixon, whether Reichwell Armstead comes back from the shoulder injury that has plagued him as of late. I am happy to predict that the Riders will be able to run the football in this game. Mosaic should be humming, especially again, if the Bombers lose earlier that same day, giving the Riders a chance to finish first. So I'm happy to take the Riders here to win and cover in what will be the final game of the 2024 CFL regular season. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. Be sure to like, subscribe, and rate everything you can find, 3downnation.com. We'll see you next week for our playoff picks.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.